use him, God. You know what we need to hear. And Lord, we want to thank you in advance, God, for what you're about to give us. And Lord, just give him the liberty he needs, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. We're going to be in the book of Numbers tonight, the Lord willing, if you'll go there, the book of Numbers. And I'll be reading from chapter 11, Numbers chapter 11. Like Brother Charles just mentioned, there will be a bird, one of the birds of the Bible, incorporated into this text. Last night we noticed the dove at the baptism of our Lord, Numbers chapter 11. It's a different type sermon tonight than last night. I'll need an amen here. You don't eat the same thing for supper every night. Hopefully. Your wife varies your diet. And I'm glad the Word of God is a buffet. It's a smorgasbord of delicious food. And it's a different meal tonight, as I said, than last night. Numbers chapter number 11. I'm going to have to, that doesn't sound right, I'm going to read more of the chapter tonight than I usually do in a text, but we're building toward the final paragraph that will be the focus of our attention. Numbers 11, verse 1. I'd like to start reading at verse 1. I forgot that you're going to stand. I guess I won't be reading all 35 verses, will I? We'll begin right here. It'll get us started. And the people, I'm sorry, I missed a word. And when the people, I need that next word. And when the people, let's do it one more time. And when the people, you may be seated. That's where the chapter begins. And when the people complain. My, at the miracles God has enacted for Israel in the little time since she came out of it. In fact, her coming out of Egypt was a miracle. And when the people complain. My text tonight hinges, has its origin, begins with the people complaining. You could almost say that the text tonight is an exhortation, a warning, will I get an amen, against the sin of grumbling. Wasn't much of an amen, was it? The sin of grumbling. And when the people complain, the word means to murmur. And in Hebrew, the verb complain there, it is framed as a P-L, P-I-E-L, P-L stem verb. And that simply means that they are really complaining. They are grumbling up a storm. They're putting all their energy, all their ability into complaining here. When the people complained, now the Lord reacted to their complaining. When the people complained, I'm going to need another word. It did what to the Lord? It displeased the Lord. Y'all don't reckon he still feels the same way about complaining, do you? It displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. It's in verse 1. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed. It means killed, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah. It means the place of burning. God incinerated, God cremated the grumblers, the rebels that day. The name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Now, I want to preach about another bird of the Bible. Those birds will appear as we get further into the chapter, but enough about that. The sin of grumbling. I want to make an announcement. Don't know how this is going to work. The way you're looking at me, I'm a little uneasy. Three words, see if you agree. Grumbling is contagious. Grumbling is contagious. I think I better put another sentence. There's not a one of us in this building, but we murmur and grumble and complain from time to time. I was noticing a minute ago, it's the same event. There is a woman who has broken an expensive alabaster box of perfume. She is pouring it out and anointing our Savior. Listen to what John says about that miracle. John says, one of them spoke up and said, "What a waste of money. That ointment should have been sold and the money given to the poor." One man, John says, grumbled. We all know who that was. It was Judas who held the bag. John said he was a thief. He's a crook. That's John's account. In Mark's account, Jesus has been anointed. Mark says, and some of them grumbled. Some of them grumbled. And John is one man, Judas. In Mark, it's some of them, more than one man. And then when you get to Matthew's account, Jesus has been anointed. Matthew says, and the disciples complained, murmured, and grumbled. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? One man, Judas, some of the disciples, and then every one of them, I got to go back and re-preach it, grumbling is contagious. Grumbling can get deeply rooted into a church. It can spread throughout that assembly, and it can rob us of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. That's only read three verses. I need to read some more. Verse number four. And the mixed multitude. You see that? Mixed multitude. That is the only time that precise string of words is used when it's spelled M-I-X-T, mixed multitude. It is used one other time in Exodus, and it is spelled M-I-X-E-D, mixed multitude. Who are they? Oh, let me tell you about the mixed multitude. When the Jews left Egypt, there were some Egyptians. For one reason or another, the Bible doesn't make it completely clear, who wanted to come along. I found an incident this afternoon where a man that had a Jewish mama but an Egyptian daddy ended up blaspheming the Lord. Moses didn't know what to do. They put him in the hole. They put him in a cell till they got God's mind. And God said, he's blasphemed the Lord. Stone him to death. You're not going to blaspheme God Almighty and get by with it. Who was he? His mama was a Jew. And his daddy was an Egyptian. He is part of that mixed multitude. Mixed multitude. I'll tell you who it is. It's a crowd of people that act religious, but they've never been truly born again. That's what we're dealing with here, the mixed multitude. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't come out of them. I'm going to spoil this meeting as sure as the world. It wouldn't surprise me there's still some of the mixed multitude in our churches yet today. Religious, but lost. Back to verse 4, I got to quit talking and read. And the mixed multitude that was among them, among the Jews, were on the way from Egypt to Canaan, fell a lusting, strong desire. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, preacher, look at what's happening. And some of them on the outskirts of the camp got to grumbling and God sent fire. Now the mixed multitude, I'm fixing to read it, they're not happy. They're going to gripe and complain. And then some of the Jews got in on it. Look at that. The mixed multitude that was among them and the children of Israel also wept again. What are they complaining about this time, preacher? It's in verse 4. They said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Oh, did I tell you how God had been feeding 2 million Jews during this sojourn from Egypt up going to the land of Canaan? He'd been feeding them daily with something that's a miracle. He had been feeding them daily, I need some amen, with something called manna. Amen. Who shall give us flesh to eat? Let me put that in everyday language. They're saying we're sick and tired of this manna. We want some flesh to put into our bodies. Sick and tired of God's plan, wanting a new plan. And they're grumbling against the Almighty. Let me keep reading. Oh yeah, here it is, verse 5. We remember, see if you'll amen, there's some things we ought to remember and there's some things we ought not to remember. A mixed multitude, Egyptians. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Said we ate there freely. That means all you want. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They are craving garlic and leeks and onions. But now, look, eating this manna, our soul is dried away and there's nothing at all beside this manna. They're saying it disparagingly, this manna before our eyes. Boy, I'm going to lose you if you don't find anybody. Say, they're grumbling here again. Am I right? Grumbling against God's provision in their lives. And while I can't read it and while I can't preach it, they started despair, they started belittling, they started making fun of God's manna, and in verses 7 and 8 and 9, God starts bragging on his manna. Hold that for me. Don't know if I'll get an amen or not. God gives us manna every day if we want to take it and enjoy it. And did you know there's some people that don't like that manna? They're sick and tired of that manna, and they want the food of Egypt. They want the food of the world to take its place. There's your Bible. I got to read it. I said it wasn't. Verse 7. And the manna was like coriander seed, the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, ground it in mills, beat it, baked it in pans, and they made cakes. And the taste of it was the taste of, you tell me, it was the taste of what? Fresh oil. Oh my, that could be preached. Fresh oil. Oil in the Bible's a type of the Holy Ghost of God. Fresh oil. You know what this preacher needs tonight? I need fresh oil. You know what Burke County Camp Meeting needs every time we make? We need fresh oil. You know what we need in our homes? And we need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Fresh oil. They didn't want the fresh oil. They didn't want the manna. Other places the Bible says it tastes like wafers with honey. That sounds good to me. Sure does sound better than garlic and leeks and onions. Can I get an amen? Oh my, they're sick and tired of God's food. Verse 10. Well, maybe I can come back to it. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep. Now they're weeping and complaining and grumbling. Weeping, they're sick of manna. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly kindled. Moses also was, I'm going to need this word, Moses also was displeased. The verb that is used there for was displeased, let me spell it in Hebrew, R-A-A, ra'ah. In our King James Bible, it is at times Moses acted ugly. R-A, ra, is a Hebrew root noun that means wickedness and sin. This is what I'm trying to say, and I'll read it to you and try to prove it. As the crowd got to grumbling, then the mixed multitude got to grumbling, and then the Jews got to grumbling. I'm fixing to try to show you. Then Moses got to grumbling. I say Moses got to grumbling. How many preachers were there? 17, 18? Here tonight, somewhere in that vicinity. Could I say something to every man of God in this house? We're not exempt from grumbling ourselves. I've sat at too many tables with too many preachers at too many fellowship meetings. And all they could do was talk about their people, grumble about their people, rake their people over the... Could I make an... This is not Bible, but you might get... If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's a sin for y'all, it's a sin for us also. Moses is about to start grumbling. Moses was defeated. Look, verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore? That means why. Why hast thou afflicted thy servant? Lord, why are you treating me the way you are? Why have you afflicted thy servant? Why have I not found favor in thy sight? Lord, I don't believe you love me anymore, that you laid the burden of all this people on me. Lord, did I conceive them? Did I give them birth? Have I begotten them that you should say, carry them in thy bosom? And as let me tell you what Moses is doing. Moses is sick and tired of this grumbling crowd, and I'll declare Moses has jumped in there and he's grumbling against God right along with him. Oh my, I got to do it again. Try not to be boring. Grumbling is contagious. Moses got in on it as well. Verse 14. I'm not able to bear all this people alone. God, what you doing to me? This is more than I can handle. You preachers, you Sunday school teachers, amen, and if I'm right, that's not usually the way Moses talks. I guess I can let him off the hook. Moses is having a bad day. Moses is about half backslidden here. And we all get there from time to time. But he's grumbling. He's grumbling. Just as, oh my, should we? We're not. Should I be able to read the last two verses of chapter 10? I didn't. I started at chapter where they grumbled and God was displeased. Listen to Moses. Let me tell you what he's doing. Preacher, he's praying. Moses prayed. Moses is a better prayer than he is a grumbler. Somebody say amen. Brother Charles, I have preached this prayer in revival meeting. Moses prayed it every morning when the glory cloud moved out. Here's the essence of the prayer. Lord, scatter the enemies. Lord, we're moving out. Lord, no telling what we got. Scatter the enemies. He started every day asking God to scatter the enemies before him. Listen to what he prayed every night. He's praying in chapter 10. He's grumbling in chapter 11. He prayed this. Lord, we've stopped. The glory cloud ceased moving. It's no longer a cloud. It's a it's fire now warming us overnight. Lord, would you settle in around the thousands of Israel? Would you gather in and watch over us and protect us and guide us another night? Ricky's praying. I got to do this. It's called timeout. Let me put in just a word here. It doesn't have a thing to do with my sermon. That prayer Moses prayed every morning is not a bad prayer for you to pray every morning. Lord, scatter the enemies today. Lord, there goes my little girl to school. Would you scatter the enemies today that'd be around her? Y'all aren't getting it. Would you run that dope dealer out of town that would try to tempt and lead my son or daughter down the wrong path? Lord, would you get that liberal preacher out of the county where they might go and hear some fall? Lord, scatter your enemies. If he scattered Moses' enemies, he could scatter our enemies. Hallelujah. Good prayer to pray every morning. And then in the evening, Lord, we're laying down. Would you snuggle in around us? Would you gather real close? Would you, hey, I got some good news. Psalm 121, he that keepeth Israel, he keeps us too, will neither slumber nor sleep. I'm glad God's always watching over us. I shouldn't have said all that, but I had to. Somebody here, Holy Ghost will nudge you and you'll begin that prayer for you and your family every morning. Some of you will adopt it every evening. Moses praying in chapter 10, grumbling. I got to say something right here. I want every one of you to lift the halos off your head and lay them down beside you, please. Because right now, I'm preaching to a bunch of born-again, sanctified, ain't-never-sinned people who are not willing to admit you're grumblers. We are all grumblers from time to time. Yeah, but preacher, that's a major grumbling. I just do, excuse me, I didn't know God weighed our grumbling and made it big and little. All grumbling is ingratitude toward God. All grumbling is unbelief in some form toward Almighty God. Verse 15, Lord, if you're going to treat me like this, if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Just kill me, I pray thee. Now, boy, that's mature Christian living, ain't it? You know what Moses is having right here? Somebody smile at me. He's having a pity party. Grumbling, complaining. Verse 16, I've got to get to my text. You're probably saying, you're not there? I'm not. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, anybody believe God heard Moses murmuring and complaining? the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Just go out there and get you 70 good ones, whom thou knowest to be elders and officers, and bring them to the tabernacle that they may stand there with thee, and I'll come down and talk with thee. Miss Patsy, I'm sorry. God just heard Moses say, it's too much on me. I can't handle it. I'm sick of it. You're going to have to do something. Lord, did I bring them on earth? Did I give birth to this nation? I did not. Lord, I just can't keep on going. God said, all right, get you 70 men. Bring them out here, and I'll meet with you. I'm in verse 17. Watch it. And I'll take of the Spirit which is upon thee. Y'all watch it. I'll take of the Spirit that's upon thee, and I'll put it on them. I'll put it on them. They'll bear the burden of the people with thee, and you'll not bear it alone. Y'all listen to me, and you are. 70 leaders. God said, you select them, and I'll take the Spirit off of Moses, and I'll put it on them. That's the forerunner of the Jewish Sanhedrin. That's the forerunner of the Jewish Sanhedrin. That's the crowd that tried our Lord, hated our Lord, despised our Lord. They were largely involved in crucifying our boy. Moses Grumman really did a wonderful thing for Jesus that day, didn't he? And then watch. I'll take of the Holy Ghost that's on you, and I'll put it on them. Now, God could have said, because the Holy Ghost is unlimited, God could have said, I'll just put the Holy Ghost on you and keep it on you and I'll put it all over all of that. But that's not what my King James Bible says. I'll take of the Spirit from you and I'll put it on them. Man, you're listening well, and I'm grateful. I appreciate your reverence. Moses got what he wanted. God heard his grumbling. He complained, told God it's too much to bear, and so God took the Spirit off Moses and put it on that crowd. Moses got what he wanted. I'm going to need an amen. But boy, did it cost him something when he grumbled. Lost. Now, the Holy Ghost today and the dispensation of you, totally different than it was in the old. Hey, David prayed, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy. In the Old Testament, Holy Ghost could come on a man, could withdraw from a man, come back on a man, and often did so. Did with Samson, did with Gideon. Now, thank God, the Holy Ghost is in you. Need an amen? He is in you to stay. Hallelujah. Amen. Took it off Moses and put it on the 70. He grumbled. Really, he got what he wanted. But it cost him spiritually and it cost him dearly. I didn't know I was going to say this, but I am. It could be that the sin of grumbling diminishes my spiritual potential and my spiritual capability for the glory of God. It could be. I heard a right and I appreciate it. Preacher Bagwell, you saying I can lose my salvation? Well, if you've been listening, I just said you can't. We are eternally secure. Hallelujah. But while I can't lose my salvation, while I cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, am I, Brother Grassley, am I right? You can lose the power of the Holy Ghost. You can lose the joy of the Holy Ghost. You can lose that sweetness of Holy Ghost fellowship. Pretty sure God laid these birds on my heart. Beginning to wonder a little bit about it right now. Think, you're preaching against grumbling? That is the text. Now, y'all ready? Oh, I need a whole lot more of y'all ready. Been preaching 29 minutes. I'm aware of that fact. Go with me to verse. Oh my. There's something else I need to do. Look at verse 18. Moses grumbled. God gave him what he wanted. It cost him. He lost spiritual power. The Jews have been grumbling. We're sick of manna. We're sick of this stuff. We want some flesh. Little heads up. God's going to give them just what they want. They want flesh. They are fixing to get some flesh. I'd be careful what I prayed. I'd be careful what I prayed. God just might give you what you're asking for. Jeremiah loved to pray for the Jews, and finally God came to Jeremiah one day and said, stop it. Don't pray for them again. God had to repeat that. Stop your prayer. Paul was praying that thorn and the flesh would go away. Paul's got a tremendous record of answer. Take care. And God said, I'm not going to do it. That thorn in the flesh. Paul besought thrice. It's going to stay. You need it to keep you humble. Be careful. There's some things we ought to pray for, and there's some things we ought not to pray for. I've got to. 18. Moses said to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Oh boy, Debbie, write this down, honey. Sanctified grumblers. Sanctify thyself tomorrow. You can also say Baptist and you'll about hit the nail on the head. Sanctify thyself tomorrow and ye shall, God says it, tell me, ye shall eat what?
Flesh.
You boys want flesh? I can get you some flesh. You're tired of the manna? For it was well with us in Egypt. Now the Lord's going to give you flesh and ye shall eat. Look at verse 19. Ye shall not eat it one day, nor two, nor five, nor 10, nor 20. You're going to eat it a whole, tell me what it is. You're going to eat it a whole what? Until it come out, am I reading this right? Am I in the King James? I'm pretty sure I am. Yeah. Until it come out your nostrils. You ever heard of too much of a good thing? I'm telling you, John, God is saying to these people, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. I'm going to give you so much meat it'll make you sick. I don't mean to be crude. And you will vomit it. You will vomit it. Out your, if you ever vomited through your nose, you did some major vomiting right there. It's going to come out of your nostrils. And it'll be hateful. It'll be loathsome to you because you've despised the Lord. You've wept before Him and said, why did we come out of Egypt? They're fixing to get a whole lot of flesh. Are y'all all right? I need more of you to be all right. Are y'all all right?
Amen.
Verse 30. And Moses got him to the camp. Moses going back up where the tabernacle, he and the elders of Israel, verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord. See it? There went forth a wind from the... Does anybody in this building believe God controls the wind?
Amen.
I was in Florida, Brother Charles, 2 weeks ago. Last week we're in Pennsylvania and I preached from the Gospel of Mark all week. I preached the birds of the Bible. Not necessarily these birds, but on that general theme of the birds of the Bible. I've enjoyed this so much, the birds of the Bible. Not my common kind of preaching. I just get me a chapter and stay in it. I'm working on this. I hope somebody will smile. Working on the booklet now, the trees of the Bible. Well, y'all are an exciting crowd tonight. the trees of the Bible. Fella said, you can't preach about the trees of the Bible. Could I make an announcement? Genesis 1 starts out with a tree. Revelation 22 ends up with a tree. And the most important thing that's ever happened in the Bible happened on a tree where my Savior died. Hallelujah. Tell me I can't preach about the trees. I remember a boy that got saved who's up a sycamore tree, if you want to know this. The birds of the Bible, the trees of the Bible, the verse I just read, and God sent a wind. I'm wondering if you could preach on the winds of the Bible. The winds of the Bible. David, don't you attack. Don't you make a move till you hear a rustling in the leaves in the top of the mow. That's some wind going to blow. Back to my verses, 31. The Lord sent forth a wind. You say, I don't believe God can control the wind. You just ask Jonah when you get to heaven then. I guarantee you God can control. On the day of Pentecost, the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Whatever's fixing to happen, God's blowing it in. God's sending it. And God brought, I need you to give me that next word. What did God bring? God brought what? Say it again. Quails. Boy, I sure hope they're birds. Quails. I think I finally got to my text. God brought quails from the sea, and he let them fall by the camp. He let them fall. I mean, here are thousands and thousands of quails, and God lets them fall right there at the camp of the Israelites. God let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side. A day's journey is estimated to be 20 miles. 20 miles of quail. And a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. Y'all do the math. 20 miles that away, 20 miles that away, and it's that distance all the way around the camp. See if I get in there. That's a whole lot of quails right there. Oh, let's see. And as it were, I'm in the last of verse 31, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. I gotta have you talk to me. Anybody believe in what I'm reading to you? Does anybody believe this is a literal miracle from Almighty God? A cubit is 18 inches, am I not right? 2 cubits high. 3 feet high. It either means, Dr. Schofield believes, it means they flew in at 3 feet high and the Jews could easily capture them, could easily gather them for meal after meal, 30 days after meal, or it could be those quail blew in and fell 3 feet deep. 3 feet high for 20 miles this way, 20 miles that way. I can hear you now. Somebody says, I just don't believe God could pile it up that high. At Armageddon, blood's going to flow as deep as the horse's bridles. Am I right? God won't have no trouble with 3 feet of quail then. Let me tell you something about quail. A little sparrow, if he's healthy and robust, weighs 1 ounce. A quail will push 3/4 of a pound. In fact, the word quail is believed to mean plump. Oh, my soul. I don't want to use the other word. Fat. And quail, sparrows, 2 are sold for a farthing. 5 can be bought for 2 farthings. And yet, 1 ounce, it's a bird a mouthful. It's gone. Not so with those quail. Delicious meat, plump meat, tender meat. I guess if God's going to whip you, I don't know, I shouldn't even say it. If God's going to whip you, he can pick out a delicious stick to beat you with. Amen. What are them quail doing flying up through there? Bible quail migrate. They're born, they raise their young in Egypt down that direction. Preacher, when they migrate, guess what? Hope you'll smile. They fly straight over the desert where these Jews are heading toward Israel. And if they didn't migrate that way, God's got a way to change their GPS. Amen. Oh, I need to tell you this about quail. They're not real strong birds, and they don't have real powerful wings. Heavy and little short, stubby wings. They never has there been record of quail flying real high. They fly low. They fly low. Coveys. Multitudes. If we're talking 20 miles that way and that way and 3 feet, we're talking millions and millions and millions of quail that have been migrating. Happens every year. Been migrating. Except God's working a miracle this year. There is one record, at least in antiquity. The quails had left Egypt. They're flying across the Dead Sea, would be the body of water. Sometimes they've been seen flying across the Mediterranean, and they couldn't make it to land. Remember, they're not real strong. They can't fly real far. Couldn't make it to land. There was a fishing vessel in the middle of the Red Sea. Here come the quail. Can't make it to land, so what would you do if you were a quail? They landed on the ship. Then more landed on the ship. Then more landed on the ship. Then more landed on the ship. Somebody say amen. Then the ship went down. Historical records sank that ship. So many of those heavy quail. God is sending those quail. God is just... We want quail. No, they didn't say that. We want flesh. This is what they said. We don't want manna. We don't want God's food. We want that food from Egypt. We want that food from the world. We want something besides God's plan, and God gave them what they asked for. I think you're with me, and I love you to death. We better be careful with our grumbling. It might be a more serious sin in the eyes of God than we realize it to be. Let me try to keep reading. Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day and all that night. You can't get folks to go to church that long. And all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. What in the world is a homer? Antiquity, those old writers said, a homer is a donkey's load of anything. A donkey's load of quail. All the quail a donkey could carry. That's gallons. Maybe up to 10 gallons of quail. They all gathered, I'll say 10 gallons at the least, 10 gallons of quail. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. I don't even read where they ask a blessing. They're ready to dig in. They're tired of that manna. Y'all still with me? Y'all still got your Bibles open? Verse 33. I'm only going to 35. And while the flesh was between their teeth before it was chewed, y'all look at me a minute. Show me that they barbecued the quail, baked them, fried them. It looks to me like they ate them raw. They're so craving that meat, they ripped that feathers off, It's called, now you're looking at me crazy again. It's called rare when you go to the steakhouse. Ere it was chewed, I'm in verse 33, the wrath, that word means fiery anger. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord, tell me what he did. He what? Smote. Watch my hand. Smote. Plagued. Beat the daylights out of his disobedient, backslidden, grumbling people. The Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of that place Kibroth HaTaava. Kibroth HaTaava. And preacher, what does that mean? The graves of lust. The graves of lust. Had to have flesh to eat, because there they buried the people that lusted. And then the people journeyed from Kibroth HaTaava unto Hazeroth, and they abode there on their way. Multitudes. We don't know how many died because of the sin of grumbling and their desire to eat those quail. Are y'all still okay? Are y'all still listening to me? God gave them what they wanted in their grumbling. Now I need to close the message. Preacher. Psalm 106 describes an event like this. And it's Psalm 106, verse 15. Somebody check it. I believe I'm quoting the right reference. And God sent them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Am I right on my quoting? God sent them their request and sent leanness to their soul. They grumbled about the manna. They wanted flesh. God gave them the flesh. But oh, how it cost them. God sent leanness to their soul. Can I make an announcement? I believe I'll just stick with the manna. Amen. I need to say it again. I believe I'll stick with God's word. Amen. Preacher, what makes you think manna is a symbol of the word of God? And honestly, you preach manna as a picture of Jesus, I holler amen all day long, but he is the living bread that came down from heaven. But manna is also a picture of the word of God. I'm going to take 5 minutes and do this. Maybe I can do it in less than 5 minutes. How is manna a picture of the word of God? Well, let me start out this way, see if I get an amen. It's a miracle. Y'all do believe it's a miracle. Could I make an announcement? My Bible's a miracle. Hallelujah. Anybody remember where that manna came from? Oh yeah, preacher, it came down from heaven. It came down from above. Hey, my Bible came down from heaven. And I mentioned a minute ago, said that manna was sweet. Tasted like wafers with honey. I'm sure I'll get an amen. I won't even have to do this. I'm glad my Bible tastes sweet. Hallelujah. You know what? When they went out and gathered the manna every morning, and the Bible's very specific, they had to get down on their knees to gather that manna. Hey, if you're going to get in the Word of God, if you're going to eat the manna of the Word of God, you're probably going to have to get on your knees, son, to do it. Let me give maybe one more about the manna. It said every morning when the manna fell, listen, it fell upon the dew. It fell upon the dew. Manna didn't come till the dew had fallen first. Brother Bagwell, I'm not sure I'm understanding that. I need about 5 amen. That dew is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. And the manna falls on the dew. You won't get a thing out of this sermon tonight. You won't get a thing out of your preacher's sermon Sunday morning. You won't get a bit of manna to take home and nourish your bodies in it unless there's some dew that has fallen. The Holy Ghost is the amplifier of the Word of God. And yet, and if I'm telling it wrong, somebody let me know after this service, we wholesale in America, American so-called Christians, we're departing from the manna. We want the entertainment of the world. We want the flesh of the world. Oh, God, help us. God, help us to quit grumbling and complaining and get satisfied with your word. Hallelujah. That's the sermon God laid on my heart. The quail. God's judgment on the sin of grumbling. Oh, I do have to say, let me look. 49 minutes. Are y'all all right? I believe I just heard the Lord speak. I don't know. Something about 2 hours, I believe he said. Paul wrote it. Do all things without, how'd that go? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And he wrote it to the Philippians. He wrote it to the Swedish church he pastored. And you mean in that godly mature assembly, there's some murmuring and some complaining? It's there. I won't get any amens. And it shows up in your church too, if you want to know that. And it's more dangerous than we realize. Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 15. If not, right along in there. The Holy Ghost, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but not the Holy Ghost. He said, you better be careful lest any root of bitterness spring up in you. That's that grumbling. He said, thereby many have been defiled. Many have been defiled. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about that word defiled. It is a filthy, filthy word. Is anybody here old enough to remember a term from years gone by? Slop jar? You young folks will just have to put up with it for a minute. They didn't have indoor bathrooms in Paul's day. In those cities through the night, they'd use those slop jars. You know how they cleaned it out every morning? They'd walk over to the balcony and they'd heave it out into the street. Brother Bagwell, you don't mean. Why, donkeys, cattle, and sheep go up and down those streets all day anyway. You ain't creating no additional problem. Defiled. Grumbling and bitterness will defile me. Here's a man, left his house, going into the city of Rome, got on his brand new white toga. He's going down to the courthouse to seal the deal on an acre of land he's bought. He didn't know that the servant in this house up here was cleaning the bedroom. He didn't know that he had just picked up the slop jar and was about to empty it. Are y'all still with me? But being in the wrong place at the wrong time, splat. White toga. Not to mention the rest. That's the word, defiled. That's the word, defiled. Bespattered with all of that unpleasantness and filth. Brother Bagwell, you better watch what comes out of your mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, we better watch how we grumble against God. For in His eyes, we're fixing to get bespattered with something mighty stinky instead of grumbling. Oh, I'm done. Here's how I'm going to end it. I started out, I said it four times, grumbling is contagious. Now I'm going to say this. Praise
is contagious also. Praise is contagious. Oh, I've been in many a service. It is sort of going on, you know, pretty well. But and God had touched some old granny. God had touched some grandpa. God had touched some spirit-filled sister. And they'd get to breaking out in praise. And you know what that praise would do? It'd scatter. It'd go across the country. We'd all have to get to having a good time. Grumbling is contagious. But praise is contagious too. How am I going to act? How am I going to talk to the glory of God? I don't even know if I like quail anymore, to be honest with you. Give me the manna of the good word of God. Would you stand with us? We'll bow our heads. We'll close our eyes.